pandemic, and maybe before then, it's been well publicized that the high street has faced intense pressure from the development of e-commerce and social commerce. However, there's one retailer that has managed to adapt and navigate this uncertainty: Primark. With a £100 million upgrade for its brick and mortar stores on the way, what can we learn from this industry giant? Welcome to Inside Retail, the podcast brought to you by Edited, the world's leading AI-driven retail intelligence platform. In this podcast, we delve into the current retail landscape, uncovering the opportunities and challenges it's facing, with me, Grace Hill. In today's episode, I'm joined by industry leader, Primark's Group Director of Planning and Space, John Rowles. With over 25 years of experience in retail, John has seen the landscape evolve, and I'm looking forward to getting his expert opinion on how he strengthens his team with data in a time of endless information. John and I will be discussing the importance of market context for great decision-making, how you can leverage data to validate your decisions, and how Primark has managed to continue to deliver amazing fashion at amazing prices for its customers. Well, John, welcome to Inside Retail. Thank you so much for joining us. So obviously, you're a retail man of mystery. You've got no LinkedIn profile. I'm curious to learn more about you and how did you get into retail?
Yeah, so I've been in retail over 25 years now. I joined Marks & Spencer's originally from university. I had a fascinating start where all of the graduates were put in M&S's old marble hall, and someone literally walked down the hall with a piece of string. And if you were on the left, you went into the food group. And if you were on the right, you went into clothing and textiles. So I'd love to say that I was born with a huge passion to go into clothing, but it was literally what side of the tape I was on. However, as soon as I started in M&S, I really got that bug for understanding trends around retail, the buzz of bestseller report on a Monday. And so I did some time at M&S. I then went to work at New Look on the merchandising side. And then I joined Primark over 11 years ago, which is where I am now as Group Director of Planning and Space.
And could you tell us a little bit more about what does Group Director for Planning and Space entail?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things within my remit. I mean, I'd work very closely with the buying and merchandising teams and also very closely with finance. So on the planning side, that's very much that kind of focus on how much OTB is there working with the teams, things like inventory levels, margin tracking, markdown management, and, you know, trade forecasting, sales levels. So really working with the individual buying and merchandising teams and adding up all of those kind of sales ambitions and generating those kind of forecasts. Another side of it is the store space that's headed up by a great director called Mark Jordan. And that's really looking at the individual store space, how we segment the product, how the layouts flow, and really sweating one of those major assets, which is our shop floor space. And then probably most relevant to, you know, why we find ourselves partnering with Edited, I'm heading up a some of the transformation projects where we're specifically looking at how we use IT and data, and we change some of our systems as we head into future years.
Well, I think that's a part that I'm really excited to dig into further. I guess one point which I'd love to get your point of view on is obviously retail has seen more changes in the past 5 years than the 25 that preceded them. How have you seen kind of the buying and merchandising teams and the teams that you work with across the business, how has their day-to-day been impacted or changed recently?
Yeah, I think you know, one of the reasons we've partnered with you, Grace, is the retail landscape has changed. There's, you know, a lot more online competition now, digital competition, and access to data is everywhere. There's data everywhere. So I think one of the key things is understanding how you use data and what you do with it. There's positives and negatives of data. You can find yourself very quickly going up dead alleys and dead ends with data and overanalyzing. So I think the real skill is with more and more data available is what we do with it. So if I think about how we're using the edited tool and looking at price scraping, you know, we are a value retailer. We pride ourselves on our price positioning. So understanding where we are relative to other people in the market is critical. If I go back maybe, you know, 5 years plus, we would have had teams of people that would have physically gone into stores, checked swing tags on gondolas, wrote them down, provided us then with the presentation of, you know, average basket sizes, etc. In a digital world, that's just very different, right? So the ability to use tools like YouGiver and price scraping and almost recreate that in the with a digital lens, it is a huge change, you know, going from people writing down and checking tickets to now the technology that we're partnering with you on, Grace.
John, amazing fashion at amazing prices. We would love to know what that means to the Primark business and also to your customer.
Yeah, we're fiercely proud of our prices and our fashion. And I think where we really show our best is that combination of bringing those key fashion looks and trends to our customers at our great value prices. And we're actually really proud of being accessible to everybody and almost that sense of democratizing fashion and giving everybody a chance to build into those key trends at our price points.
And you mentioned kind of price increases. I know that that's something that we work very closely on, especially at the start of 2023. That was a key focus for you, was really understanding what was happening in the market. What indicators are you most interested in right now as you're looking at that greater market context?
Just really getting a sense of the direction of travel. I think, you know, we've probably seen the bulk of the price inflation wash through now. Certainly, you know, if I look at other sectors in the market, we're not seeing that level of price inflation flow through in grocery anymore. And some of those inflationary pressures would have eased. So I think we're just now looking at, right, are we now moving into a period of more stability within pricing, where we have come from what was clearly seen and would have been called out in a lot of reports, that inflationary pressure coming through the clothing market.
And could you give us some insight into how you are sharing those insights, you know, across the teams, how your teams are interacting with that type of data in their day-to-day?
Yeah, I think it's getting to those value add points quicker and almost taking, again, just taking the noise out and going, right, what are the key decisions I need to make? So, you know, I'm sure if buyers and merchandisers are listening to this, some of that real value comes around things like the range build, things like understanding your pricing strategy, things like good, better and best, you know, using data to get to those decisions quickly to give more time to do that value add part of the role is the real focus that we're looking to get out of our increasing use of data.
And helps with that kind of validating the decision and having that source of truth. And when it comes to granularity of data, I know that's something that we hear from a lot of our customers, and you've said it yourself, you know, there's so much data out there, it's so easy to tie yourselves in knots. At what level would you recommend doing that type of pricing analysis? Is that something at a category level, subcategory level? How deep would you go?
I think it depends. It depends. Sometimes you may just want to get an idea of like an average basket, maybe across women's wear. There may be a specific product or a specific trend that you want to dive a bit deeper into. I think the watch out for me would be, you know, where is the real value? You could spend all day in the tool looking at every single price and every single product, every range in the competitors or on the high street. But actually, where's the value? What are you using it for? And what key decisions are you going to make off of that?
We had previously spoken about kind of good, better, best pricing. We know that that's bread and butter across retail and how, you know, retailers architect their lines. What does that mean to you and to Primark?
As you said, you know, lots of retailers would have certain levels of pricing within their business. We're really proud of some of our new initiatives. We've got a very successful range at the moment looking in called The Edit, where we're using much, much better fabrics, lovely products, lovely designs. Also things like our Rita Ora, our Stronghold on Men. So like all retailers, we've got different types of product and different focuses, but we're really pleased with some of the reactions where we're starting to embrace beautiful fabrications and really lovely designs and cuts.
And when it comes to kind of that setting the first price, setting that right price, how do you approach this pre-season within you and your teams?
Well, we've got a very established price architecture and we don't tend to deviate on that. We're not a retailer that's constantly adjusting and moving our prices. We will obviously be aware of where the broader competitor set is, and that's part of that kind of benchmarking I've described earlier. Our pricing hierarchy is established, so then as we're developing products, the decisions are where do they sit within that hierarchy? What type of product is it? What else is in the range around it? So it's very much the relativity of prices and the product that sits around it that we'd be focusing on.
So to understand, it's kind of, you have your set pricing structure, which your customers know they can rely on, but how do you remain agile in a market that is constantly evolving when it comes to price leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, fundamental to our core is we won't be beaten on price. So there is definitely a reaction there should we need to. But also then there's where is the opportunity on price? You know, is there new categories that we can look at? Are there some categories actually where we might want to introduce a more value expression of a certain category? So it's really analysing the trends, the data, what's working, what's not, but also making sure that we are the best value in the products that we offer.
I guess ultimately, customer centricity is something that we are extremely passionate about here at Edited and really understanding the customer. What is your viewpoint and how do you view that within the Primark business?
Yeah, I mean, understanding your customer has always been important. I think it becomes more important every year. We're definitely seeing customers reacting strongly to stimulus. So things like weather patterns, things like payday. We know consumers are being surrounded by their own inflationary pressures right now. So understanding what consumers want to buy, what's on trend, what's not on trend, looking at how we're building our ranges, it's never been more important. And actually, that level of range diversification becomes more and more important. And, you know, you only need to look at some of our recent campaigns. So I think understanding how we build our ranges and what the consumers are looking for has always been important and continues to be.
And could you walk me through how do your teams use data to help you make better decisions and inform that range build?
It's the traditional things, you know, it's looking at your bestseller reports on a Monday, you know, what's working, what's not working, looking for trends across different genders, different departments, and then scaling those trends up. And data is about, you know, we operate in many markets now with many product types. So the presentation of that data in the simplest form speeds up decision making.
What does data solve for that gut instinct can't?
I think it's facts. And I think that international piece is really important. So your gut instinct can say this is going to be a really successful trend. When you get the first data points, you can really start comparing, right, well, what's the rate of sale in Spain versus the rate of sale in the UK? It could be great everywhere. It might be really great in some countries. So I think it, and that data enables you to compare and contrast, and it benchmarks that gut feel. Every good bar and merchandiser has to have a gut feel about what's going to work and what's not going to work, because a lot of products that we launch, we've got no history on. I think data then validates that and drives the next steps.
In terms of kind of Monday morning, I'm sure that's the key period in which you and your teams are really digging into the business. What advice would you give to those working in retail where they can feel really overwhelmed? There's so many data points, there's so much coming at them. Where should they focus their time and energy when pulling that information?
I mean, there's a really famous methodology called Pareto, right? So, you know, really focus on what the big deals are. Do you necessarily need to analyze every single line, but what are the key ones that are going to drive action? So I think it's really focusing on the big bets.
This was a point that you had raised previously, which I thought was really fascinating, and talking about repeats and buying back into trends. What data points are you looking at within your business to give you the support that that is a trend or a product that you would continue to back within the business?
Yeah, so I think it's good old-fashioned buying and merchandising. So it is that Monday morning looking at your bestsellers and your trade reports, understanding whether rates of sales are increasing or decreasing. Every good buying team would know when they look at that first week sale, whether that's a good reaction, a medium reaction, or a poor reaction. If you launch something new, there's no better buzz than if buyers and merchandisers are listening to this, that Monday morning when you launch a new product and it goes through the roof. And that's that natural call to arms of, right, where do we go with this? Do we buy more options? Do we buy more depth? How long do we think we can extend that selling life for? I think given the multinational element of our business, it's also really important that we look at, is this a international trend? Is it reacting the same in all markets? Are we going to repeat it in some markets and not others? So it really is that kind of good old-fashioned first week of sale. What's the rate of sale? How does it index to, like, you know, average, a great or poor? And then that teamwork of, right, when can we get back into it? Have we got the capacities? When's it going to be delivered? And how long does that life of line carry on for?
And could you share with us how, obviously, that internal sales data is so important, but how you then compare and contrast that to what's going on in the wider market?
Yeah, so, you know, there's always trends that we are ahead of. Sometimes, like all retailers, there may be a trend that we're slightly behind on. So we'd constantly be looking at, you know, what is the representation on the market? You know, if there was a massive mix into leopard print suddenly, have we got enough leopard print on our books? Do we need more? But then there's also things that we may spot that we want to be first to market on and that we'd be scaling up on our own internal judgment. So it's really understanding, you know, where the life of a trend is, where our best sellers are, and how long we want to keep those going for.
One of the most exciting things about the Primark business is how you have been expanding with huge success globally. How has global market data helped you and supported you in that expansion?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Grace. I mean, again, if you go back to the traditional comp shop, you know, with all the markets we're in and the breadth of competitors, you know, that's a lot of people out doing comp shopping. So the ability to look at people's ranges online and look at, you know, look at range bills and how people are constructing ranges and look for those trends has never been more important as we expand.
One thing I would love to dig in a little bit more with you, John, is around the concept of connected data and one source of truth. I know that you've invested in Tableau and obviously feeding multiple different sources to make sure that you do have that kind of 360-degree view of what's going on. How important is that within your business and how is that supporting in the day-to-day of your decision-making?
Yeah, so, you know, a really good example would be how we use weather forecasts. You know, weather's always been important to retailers. I think one of the things we're delighted about right now is that we're talking about weather again. We've been talking about all sorts of things over the last couple of years, you know, Omicron, coronavirus, the shipping crisis, you know, boats getting stuck in the Suez. I think to get back to good old fashioned, is it a hot day or a cold day, is refreshing in some ways. But there's no doubt that the consumer continues to react to the stimulus of weather. So having one version of the truth that you said about weather is really important. Everybody probably has a view on, is it a cold day or a warm day? So to have accurate data now that says, right, these are the facts of where the temperatures are versus last year, good or bad. Again, it takes a lot of the subjectivity out and then you can focus on facts.
I think that's a really interesting point around weather. I actually recently had just had a conversation with Sarah Gannon, who's director of merchandising at Under Armour. And she was also talking about how refreshing it is to get back to the conversation of weather. So great to hear that from you too. She was also talking about the role of not just the, you know, weather data, but also the role of the brick and mortar teams and the staff that you have in store. How does that resonate with you? How do you leverage that qualitative insight too?
Yeah, I think being a bricks and mortar retailer, I think when we're seeing more and more volatility in weather patterns. And I think as a bricks and mortar retailer, when that volatility comes and there's that call to arms to go out and shop, you can walk into a store, pick up the product, touch the product, you know, and we're delighted with the fact that the high street isn't dead, that people are still increasingly wanting to come into bricks and mortar retailer. And I think the volatility of weather is playing to the strengths of us and our bricks and mortar approach, in that you can be freezing cold at the bus stop in the morning or vice versa and go out after work in your lunch hour, go and pick up a coat, a pair of gloves and buy them there and then. So, you know, I think that immediacy of fulfilling the demand based on these volatile weather patterns is hugely refreshing, as you said, Grace.
So I think to wrap up that point, in your opinion, John, how important is market context in great decision making in retail?
I think it's very important. It always has been important, and I think it always will be. You know, we're very confident in our own brand proposition, but it's also important to understand what your competitors are doing. So I think market context from a competitor set, from what consumer behaviours are, from things like the cost of living crisis, you know, we're constantly looking at data points that inform us of how our customers are behaving.
And how are you using those data points in a kind of a pre-season versus an in-season point of view?
Yeah, so I think, look, pre-season is all around how you set your stall out. And then in-season is about how you trade and you react to that. Are you hitting your sales budgets? Are you behind? Are you seeing certain categories overperform and underperform? I think context around, is it solely a Primark over an underperformance compared to a market over an underperformance is really important. It won't necessarily change end decisions, but it gives context around them.
And that's quite an interesting one, right? And I know from my own experience of working in retail, it's a really important question to dig into. Is it your product and your proposition that has, you know, means the customer is not voting with their wallet, or is it actually that someone else out there is offering something that's slightly more competitive?
Or voting with their wallet, Grace, you never know.
Exactly. In terms of kind of building a great range, and you had described this as setting out your stall, like what are the fundamentals, in your opinion, to building a great range?
Understanding your customer is really important. Looking at the things that your sales data is telling you that customers want, getting that blend of, you know, the core basics at great prices, but also those lovely fashion pieces, those must have, but increasingly looking at those other opportunities that we're exploring, you know, things like our Rita Ora range, things like the adaptability range and the breast cancer ranges that I've already alluded to.
How are you as a leader in the business helping the teams distinguish and kind of using the data to determine?
Yeah, I think, you know, we want our teams to be making their own decisions. So I think my role is to make sure that they've got the tools available to them to make those great decisions. You know, we're very much empowering our buying teams to trade their own areas. It's making sure that all of those individual trading decisions are done with the right context, and then ultimately, you know, take us in the direction that we want to go to. But it's very much, I think, around making sure that the teams have the right tools to make their decisions and trade their own businesses.
Totally. I guess it's progress, not perfection. And I know that not 100% of the data is always going to be available, but it's having as much as you can to make the most informed.
Yeah. And Grace, I think it's as important not to lose sight of the skill of individuals as well. What I said at the start, I think, is really important. There's so much data available now that actually you can tie yourself up in data and you can go down dead alleys and try and overanalyze things. So it's as important to understand the relevant data to drive your decision making rather than just surround yourself with huge amount of data. And I think that's a really important point I want to make on this podcast, is data doesn't solve everything. You know, you are back to great prices, great products and great ranges.
Yeah. Absolutely. The concept of analysis paralysis, right?
Absolutely right.
And actually taking a step back, what does our customer really want and how do we deliver that to them?
And, you know, there's huge change coming down the track with things like artificial intelligence and ChatGPT, but good old-fashioned buying and merchandising will live on forever. I'm very confident in that.
We love the confidence there, John. I guess that's a really nice segue into looking into the future, and I'm really keen to get your expert opinion on that. Where do you see omnichannel retail moving in the next 5 years?
That's a really good question, Grace. I think omnichannel is clearly going to be really important. I'm passionate about bricks and mortar, but I'm also passionate about how digitally enhancing businesses can improve them. You know, if you look at the journey we've been on digitally, we've introduced a fantastic new website and we're getting record numbers of people using that. We're very proud of our stock checker availability. Now that's a really, really fascinating tool for us. So that gives a customer the ability to see something on one of our social media channels, go onto our website, check whether the stock is available in their local stores, and then that drives footfall into those stores. And again, you know, footfall into the bricks and mortar isn't going anywhere and is here to stay. So I think omnichannel is important. It's not just about the transactional element of digital for us. It's also about the overall digital experience and giving the customers as much of a good experience digitally as we do when they walk into one of our stores.
So we know that customers, they don't just get product inspiration from being in stores or brick and mortar stores these days. They're taking inspiration from social media, celebrities, many different digital assets and sources. Could you talk us through about the experiences that you've had at Primark?
Yeah, of course, Grace. I think it's back to my reference to, you know, being as effective digitally as we are as an in-store environment. You know, a couple of really good recent examples. We're delighted with our collaboration with Rita Ora. That's driven huge social media interest and also huge footfall into our stores. And we're delighted with the reaction to that product range that we've done with Rita. And then if you look at some of the key events of last year, so the Barbie movie, our social media interaction around our Barbie product was huge. And we again saw record views, record interactions, driving people into the stock checker, driving people into stores to look at those product ranges. So it's fascinating the power of social media posts and how we're getting some fantastic reads through from our digital content into our demand for ranges in our bricks and mortar stores.
So you've spoken about the Rita Ora collection and the success that it's had within the business. How did that range come to be and what gave you the confidence to bring that to market?
Yeah, it's a really good question. The people that we partner with in our collaboration, so if you think about, we've got a great range with Stacey Solomon, we partner with Kem, and our most recent partnership is Rita Ora. They're not just about paying people a lot of money to put posts on Instagrams. We work with people that understand our brand and are also supporters of our brand. We realized very early on in our early conversations with Rita, who we identified as a huge iconic figure in music, in film, in fashion, someone that was really motivated to work with Primark. Her friend shopped at Primark. She wears Primark. She lived near one of our stores. And actually, she saw our vision and the joint vision of bringing fashion to people at our prices. And the relationship is very much collaborative rather than a one hit. Rita's in our office all the time working on the ranges. She's traveled out to see some of our sourcing countries. She's been to see our sustainable cotton program. So it's a very collaborative, long-term relationship. She's also our first truly international collaboration. We've got collaborations that index more into certain markets, but the appeal of Rita is global. So I think what's really important to us is there's a joint understanding of what we do and a joint purpose of bringing that kind of fashion and the ranges at price points that people can buy. Not things that people that buy Rita's records won't ever be able to approach themselves from an affordability point of view. And that's what's made that partnership work so well.
Amazing. I feel like what I'm hearing as well is an element of authenticity to the relationship too. And in terms of that trend piece, we're hearing it constantly at the moment. Everyone is obsessed with ensuring that they have the right trends within their business. And we know that amazing fashion is critical to you. In your opinion, how do you build confidence that you are backing the right trends at the right time?
I think it is about confidence. We would look at previous trend campaigns that have been really successful. And if they sold out early, you'd adjust your buy upwards. So we're constantly looking at the rates of sales that we're getting. And it is important that you're blending those real key value, never out of stock lines with dropping in these fashion capsules. And also some of the broader initiatives we got. So some of the work we're doing in in adaptability clothing, our breast cancer ranges. You know, they're not necessarily trends, but understanding sections of the market that we can play into is also really important when we're looking at how we approach those. But I think, you know, good old-fashioned merchandising, it's looking at historic rates of sale. If you've got a brand new product and a brand new trend, no one will know exactly what that's going to sell, but looking at successes of previous trends and also working with the buying teams to understand how strongly they're feeling for a product and then we scale up. We're really proud of how quickly we scale up trends once we get those initial reactions from the customers and then we get into our repeats and driving volume. And there probably is no one that can drive volume at those real key price points on trend items like us. And I think that's a great service we bring to the high street.
So what I'm hearing is ultimately it's those leading indicators on things that maybe are new to your business that you might not have done and being able to react quickly to that and scaling that buy up. And one thing that I know that a lot of retail businesses struggle with is the kind of collaboration and connection across huge organizations like Primark. How are the teams working together to make sure that those that have ownership of the digital experience and social media are ensuring that those buying and merchandising teams who are responsible for the product selection are getting that information in, you know, a speedy and as fast as possible?
Yeah, that's good old-fashioned planning, Grace. So, you know, making sure we're going to promote something, it's in good stock, that we've got good depth of buy behind it. So, you know, it's very similar to, you know, people who've been in the industry a bit longer would have focused very much on window lines. You know, window lines have now become social media lines. So it's very similar traditional range builds, but just being executed slightly differently.
John, thank you so much for sharing all of that incredible insight into your role and your views on how the team is really maximizing leveraging data and technology. So thank you for joining us.
Brilliant. Grace, really enjoyed it. And thanks for inviting me on.
Of course. Thank you so much for listening to Inside Retail with me, Grace Hill. For more insights, head to our resources section on edited.com. And follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode.